Okay, what year did you graduate from high school?
46.
In 46. So we're talking about 42, 3, 4, 5, and 6 then.
Yeah, and...
And that was in what town?
Pond Creek. Uh-huh. And I was there, of course, when Second World War broke out.
Okay, December 7th, 1941.
1941. I was in grade school there at Pond Creek.
And how old were you? About 13 years old, I suppose.
Yeah, I was born 28.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is your remembrance of that day?
Well, I remember that I missed my brothers. My older brother, Murrow, was in the Marines, and he made the landing on Saipan in Okinawa. In fact, Murrow was deaf in his right ear, and he was 4F. Well, he and my sister went to California to work in a defense plant because we had some relatives out there that they could stay with. And... he started seeing these Marines walking around in their dress blues. Oh, he said, I've got to be a Marine. And Lois said, well, you can't. Said, you're 4F. He said, it's better. So he got his papers together, went down to recruiting office, and lo and behold, they gave him a hearing test. And he stood about 20 feet away from a wall, and this Marine was talking to him in different volumes and so forth. And when it come time to hear out of his right ear, he's supposed to put his finger in his left ear. He didn't put it all the way in, so he did all the hearing with his left ear. He couldn't hear, and he passed. Well, long story short, he goes to North Carolina to officer's training school and comes out as second lieutenant. And his first assignment is landing on Saipan, and he landed on Okinawa. And then Mr. Truman dropped the bomb, and they all came home.
So then your memories then, do you remember, you said dropped the bomb.
The atomic bomb.
On Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Do you remember that in 1945?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Tell us what you remember.
Well,
how did you hear about it?
Heard radio. Now, we didn't have electricity until, well, we had electricity then, and we did have a radio. But... the hardware store down, Henley Hardware, had a TV in the display window outside. And there were hundreds of people gathered around in front of that store watching all the news every evening because none of them, well, very few of the people had TVs at that time.
No, that would be really unusual, wouldn't it? But the store had one.
Yeah, the store had one.
And so that's how you got your news.
That's right.
Did you, what do you remember during those war years after 41?
Well, I was, one thing I did, I didn't wear any civilian clothes. My brother Merle was about the same size as I at that time. And he sent all kinds of Marine fatigues and so forth home. That's all I wore to school, was Marine fatigues and boots.
You went to the theater, movies, I suppose, back then?
Yeah, we had probably had the best theater in Grant County. And in fact, I worked there every afternoon after school when I wasn't in sports. I'd go by and sweep out the theater and clean the front windows. And that didn't get any money for it. I just could see movies free, go to the movies free.
Did they have a newsreel with the movies?
Yes. And the newsreel was the main thing a lot of people were going for because it brought, you know, the news back to the people.
And they would even show some of the battle going on.
It did. It's amazing. And at those movies, the first thing we did before the movie started, everybody sang the national anthem. And there's always somebody there, quite often a preacher, would say a prayer. Then they'd show the movie.
Tremendous patriotism, wasn't it, back then?
And a lot of some of the guys were coming back on furlough, and they'd park a flatbed truck out in the main street. And on Saturday morning, these guys would get up there with a speaker and talk to the people and tell them what their experiences were back in Okinawa, Saipan, Germany, or whatever.
So that drew an interested crowd, I'm sure.
And they posted the dead... the ones that gave their lives on the post office window very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you show emotion on that even to this very day.
Yeah.
Sad days. And so did you think, is this war, as a young boy and others, is this war going to come to an end, or are they going to come to the United States? Or?
Well, the United States was prepared for an invasion, as far as that's concerned, until Mr. Truman dropped the bomb.
And that pretty well ended things in 1945, the final stages.
Some people, you know, didn't like Mr. Truman. He ended the war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember, you listened to the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember listening to presidents on the radio?
Yes, I do.
Who did you hear?
Well, I remember listening to John Erling for about 10 years.
Yeah, but that was that wasn't in 19 in the war.
No.
Well, what president?
President Roosevelt.
You listened to his fireside chats.
Yes, absolutely. That was one of the big deals in every home that had electricity. In fact, a lot of the neighbors that didn't have electricity would be in your living room.
And you did?
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Do you remember what that radio looked like? Was it a console or table radio? Or?
It was a console. It was a tall, you know, it was probably 3 feet high, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Big thing. Sometimes static would interfere and you had a hard time, you know, communicating with it, but... It was a blessing to be able to keep in contact what was going on.
Yeah. Do you remember listening to radio programs?
Yeah, Fibber McGee and Molly and Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy, and
Amos and Andy?
Amos and Andy, and the Lone Ranger, and Hopalong Cassidy, and Jack Benny. Oh, my, all
so
those
you'd
old
shows. All sit in front of the radio and just kind of stare at the radio.
And it's popcorn time, boy. We pop big bowls of popcorn.
That's a nice memory, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Sporting events, like Joe Louis. Did you ever listen to his fights?
Yes. My father, my older brothers were boxers. Eugene, next oldest brother, was a national champion boxer. And went to Chicago in 1939 to the National Golden Gloves. He got beat because he got careless, but anyway, he got beat. And they started the boxing program at Connors A&M at Warner, Oklahoma in 1939. In fact, Merle and two other guys built the first ring that they had there. And they carried this ring, built the ring in the gymnasium. And when they had boxing matches, they put the ring out in the middle of the floor and put chairs that covered the floor, had balconies, and that place would be completely full of people. Mm.
So these were local guys fighting. About Joe Louis, who was a heavyweight boxing champion, you do remember listening to him, his fights.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Max Schmeling and all those guys. Yeah.
Any other sporting events? Or was it baseball or anything?
Yeah, there was football.
And, who did you listen by? What football would
well,
it have
there,
been?
Well, OU was on TV, and some of the pros were on TV at that time.
Yeah.
Or on radio, actually.
Radio, right.
Yeah. We finally got it. I was coaching in Henrietta. That's my first coaching job when I got out of the Navy in 1952. Well, I got married when I was there, and I had a big old box TV. And had to have an outside antenna, you know. So I loaded those up and took them to my folks. We bought us another one, and I took that TV to Mom and Pop, and that was the first TV they had.
Mm-hmm. And you're married, what was her name?
Marilyn.
Marilyn.
Yeah, we got divorced.
Okay.
Later on. That's my kids came from us.
All right. So you had how many children?
Two.
And then did you marry later?
Yes. I married again in 80. I joined the Nazarene Church. I was a member of Southwood Country Club, and I managed the swimming pool at Southwood Country.
And where was that?
In Tulsa here.
Oh.
On South, it's on South Lewis. It was. There's a big housing district there now. It's right, it's the east side of the first street east of Oral Roberts.
Southwood?
81st Street.
That was Southwood Country Club?
Southwood Country Club. It's a housing district now.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I was a member there, and Louise and her husband were a member, and they got divorced. I invited her to her dance one time, and then the rest is history.
Right. Did you have children with her?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you have two.
We had grown children ourselves.
Right. Southwood, tell us again where Southwood Country Club would have been.
81st and Delaware. 81st and Delaware. Just on the east edge, just across the Delaware there from Oral Roberts.
Okay.
On 81st Street.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before.
Great tennis club. In fact, we used to beat Southern Hills once in a while. I played tennis a lot, but I never was a competitor in that league.
Mm-hmm.
I just played for fun.
So Southern Hills, how should I say this, economically, was for the wealthy?
Yes, they were the more affluent.
And then Southwood?
Southwood was just a lot of people I call affluent there, but it was a lot of people there just made the same salary I did teaching. Great
right.
family club.
And the strong middle-class families that were there then.
Oh, man, yes. And we had swimming. I coached the swimming. We beat Southern Hills once in swimming, which was a gigantic step in the right direction.
World War II memories. You remember rationing and things that were difficult
yes,
to get?
I sure do. We had cards for food and gasoline. And some of these folks got gasoline cards, but they had put their cars on blocks because they couldn't afford to buy the gasoline. They could buy it on a donation from the cards. But what they would do, they would trade these gas cards to people that had cars for food cards. You had food cards also to buy food, certain foods, you know.
Anything else that was difficult to get that you... nylons for ladies, I think that was rationed.
Yeah, they came in with a different style. It was, I think, made out of rayon or something, the long socks, the hose and so forth, yeah.